Welcome to Focal Points. I'm Dori Howell, and I'm glad that you are here with us today. Today, we have a very fun, energetic conversation with Angie McPherson. Angie McPherson is a branding photographer located in Hampton, Virginia. You are going to hear about how our lives have crossed in many different ways, and we're just going to talk about branding photography and why branding photography is super important for photographers. Not as a genre that you go into, but as why you as a photographer really need to be thinking strongly about your brand. And it's filled with ideas and tips and tricks about how you can create a better brand for yourself out on social media, on your websites, and as a result, draw more clients to you so you book more business. And isn't that what we want, right? So you're going to get all that information today and meet one of my new besties, Angie McPherson, today on the Focal Points podcast. Welcome to Focal Points, an Enphoto podcast hosted by me, Dori Howell. This is the place to be if you want to ditch the overwhelm in your business and start creating a business that you love. All right, everybody, welcome to the Focal Points podcast. And like you heard in the intro, I am here with Angie McPherson, who is a brand photographer extraordinaire located in Southern Virginia. I'm in Northern Virginia. She's in the Southern Virginia area. And our lives have crossed in a lot of different ways. And I'm excited to have her here. But before I let you tell her story, I have a few questions for you. So first of all, Angie, welcome.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
And then I have three questions we're just going to get going with, which aren't even photography related, but we're going to start with a good time, right? So get to know each other a little better. So would you rather have deep dish pizza or thin crust pizza?
What do you prefer? Oh my gosh, deep. The more pizza, the better.
For you, the more bread, the better. For me, the more toppings, the better. Like it might be thin crust, but it's piled high.
Okay,
right?
Yeah. Okay. Give me all the dough.
You can have it. Okay. So my next question is: would you rather appear as a guest on your favorite TV show or have a lifetime backstage pass to any concert you ever attend?
Oh my gosh, that is the hardest question I've ever heard. So I actually worked at a concert venue for 5 years, and I was backstage all the time. And let me tell you something, it's not all it's cracked up to be.
Isn't that interesting, right?
Yeah, you know, the artists, they are pretty much closed away in their dressing rooms the whole time. So I would totally get on the TV show.
Yeah. Well, I think for the backstage pass thing, I think it would get old after a while.
Yeah. Right?
It would just get old forever. Okay. One more question. I know what I would say, which I think would shock my husband if you heard me say this, but I'm going to say, would you rather spend a year living in a nudist colony or in an Amish community?
Oh my gosh. Amish.
See, isn't that funny? Because I originally said Amish first, but then like, wait a minute. I'd get over the nude thing probably in about a week. I don't think I would ever get out of the cleaning out a cow stall. Like,
oh gosh.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, if.
Well, now that you think about, you know, if we're talking about like.
A year.
A year. I might have to take my clothes off.
Yeah, because here's the thing. For me, like the nudist colony is like, maybe that's on a beach somewhere. Maybe I can just relax all the time. Yeah. Maybe just work out and get better in my physical form or whatever. But like the Amish, like, yeah, that'd be really working. And I wouldn't have technology.
Yeah, I would choose the nudist because like you said, I think being out there nude on the beach, it would probably motivate me to finally eat healthier, work out. So it would only be a win.
and I just think you get over it after a while.
Like, right.
It is what it is. But okay, that's all well and good, but that's not why we're here. So we're here to learn a little bit more about Angie. And like I said in the introduction, she's a branding photographer and has been doing this for a long time and is so, so incredibly energetic and excited about what she does. She loves working with her clients. You can tell when you look on our Instagram feed and everything. She loves working with her clients, but she also helps photographers build better branding businesses.
Yeah.
And I specifically asked her here today because I wanted her to speak to us about the importance of photographers branding themselves. But before we get into this, Angie, can you just share with our audience the Cliff Notes version, a little bit about yourself, how you got into all this thing, and why you love it so much?
Sure. So I actually am hitting 10 years in business this year. I just got my, or just went into my 10th year of business. And I initially started as a wedding photographer. So I shot weddings for years, built a successful wedding photography business. And then I started having babies and not wanting to spend 10 to 12 hours on a Saturday away from my family shooting weddings. And so I eventually pivoted into branding photography. And I kind of fell into this because I, as a wedding photographer, I knew that I was, you know, in a very competitive local industry. And I saw that all these other wedding photographers were just posting photos of their clients, bouquets, wedding, things like that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I want people to see me. I want to show up as my own personal brand so that when someone's, you know, when she saves five different wedding photographers, you know, to social media or her bookmarks or something, I want her to remember me. Mm-hmm. She's not going to remember, oh, this person had a gorgeous bouquet, or I remember that couple. She's going to remember the photographer who took the photo. So I started really taking a lot of photos of myself, showcasing those on my website, my social media and my emails. And not only did I start booking even more and more brides, but other entrepreneurs, local entrepreneurs that I was walking side by side with, you know, locally, were like, oh my gosh, I want these. And they would call it, you know, headshots, lifestyle headshots.
Yeah.
And it wasn't called
branding. It wasn't a thing. You know,
right. How many years ago? It was just like, oh my gosh, you have such cool, you know, these cool, fun headshots. Can I get those? And so I started to book those and just make a whole branding experience behind it. And I was booking at such a rapid rate that I completely, you know, just made more than my wedding photography income. And not to mention, I could work during the week. Mm-hmm. I could work during the 9 to 5. I didn't have to work at the golden hour on weeknights. I didn't have to work all day Saturday or all day Sunday for weddings. And so I completely pivoted out of wedding photography and into branding photography. And it's just the opportunities that come with being a branding photographer. I swear, it's incredible. The type of people you get to meet, you know, the type of conversations you get to have, the way you get to help people. So I just love being a branding photographer.
I love it. So specifically for photographers, because all of photographers pretty much start as solopreneurs. We're working on our own. We're trying to kind of bootstrap everything together. And many of us start businesses because we want to take pictures and make people happy. We don't really get into it thinking about the business side of things. And that's one thing that I've always worked with photographers on is like, no, the business side, you have to, like, pretty pictures are great, but you're going to burn out. Like, you need to have the business strategy behind it.
Right.
And one thing I notice when I work with photographers, especially newer photographers, is the first thing that I do when I go and I look on their About You page or whatever, or on their social media page, mm-hmm. on, you know, the different socials, and I look for pictures of them and see how they are portraying themselves.
Right.
And many times they are putting up, sometimes they don't even put a picture of themselves. It might just be like a sunset or a picture of their cat or just something, something about them.
Yeah.
Right. But it isn't them.
Right.
And they're not showing their face at all in any of their marketing. And if they are, it's very, I'll say, amateurish. Mm-hmm. So, So in your opinion, why do photographers, and this isn't, I don't mean to pick on new photographers, but it isn't something I don't think people think about it, photographers think about it when they're starting a business, like I said, but also this is something that carries on. I see photographers who have been in business for 20 years using headshots from 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Really, really bad imagery of themselves, yet they're trying to promote taking pictures of others. So in your opinion, why is it so important for photographers to work on their brand? And we say brand, we're not just talking about imagery. We're talking about everything. But for this conversation, let's just say the pictures of themselves. Why do you think that's so important?
Well, being a photographer, it's a very personal business. You know, it's not a transactional business where somebody's, you know, putting their credit card online and they never see you. You're actually meeting these people in person. You're working with them leading up to it. You're working with them after the shoot. You're having a very personal connection with your audience. So when you say that people are using photos from 10 years old, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's like catfishing somebody, you know, like getting in person with someone. No. They're like, oh, this is not who I expected to see. And it's just like,
it's no joke. I'm going to, after the podcast, I'm going to share a couple with you because you're going to die. You're going to die.
Oh gosh. It's kind of like you're immediately decreasing the trust that you have with the clients that you've booked. Not to mention, you can actually book more clients when you lead with that personal, trusting imagery and brand, because people are seeing the heart behind the business owner. They're seeing the experience of what it's like to work with you. I immediately booked way more clients after I started populating my social media and my website with photos of myself, when I started actually showing my face on camera, whether it be an Instagram story, an Instagram live, just building that personal brand to be Angie McPherson instead of just Angie McPherson Photography. It really helped to connect people to want to work with me, especially as you grow in your business and you start raising your prices and creating different packages. You want to elevate the business and the brand just as you're elevating the pricing. Yeah. If you're just doubling your price year after year and you're still looking the same, you know, the same website, the same, you know, imagery, the same type of experience 10 years ago, it just doesn't add up.
It doesn't add up. It doesn't add up at all. And I think that's something, well, people should just hire us for my art. People should just hire me for my art because I take great pictures. That's a really, really old-fashioned way of looking at marketing, and that's not how things work. But if you go into some of those traditional ideas, if you go back to, a lot of people quote the Dale Carnegie book, you know, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And the big quote that you see there all the time is people do business with those who they know, like, and trust.
Right.
Well, they have to get to know you first. And this is, this is, you can't hide without them getting to know you. So if you're saying, well, people are going to do business with me when they know, like, and trust me, how are they going to get to know, like, and trust you if you're not putting yourself out there?
Exactly.
And I think with business photography, it's different when families hire us because they want photos for a specific event or certain milestone or for their holiday card. They're coming into this. They're coming into this because they want to. A lot of times what I found with my branding clients is that many of them don't necessarily want to be doing this.
Right. They know they need to do
they
it.
They need to be doing it. And that's a big difference with how they think about photography. Because a family photographer, yeah, they might just hire you because they like your style. But a branding photographer, they need to trust you with their professional image.
Right.
So how are they going to trust you if you're not putting yourself out there and showing your own unique style and how you handle people and all of that kind of stuff. So,
exactly.
So yeah, you got to do it. You got to do it. What are some of the biggest mistakes that you see besides just not putting your face out there? What are some of the other biggest mistakes that you see photographers making with their brand?
As far as photographers, I also see just not showing any sort of behind the scenes component or content. You know, people love, especially in this age of social media and reels and TikTok and all of that, it's the norm to share the nitty gritty, to share what's going on, you know, behind the business, behind the camera. And so the photographers that are still like, oh, I don't want to share anything. And, you know,
I just want to share a picture. I just want to share my pictures.
You know, I don't, I tell people set up your phone and just have it running on you while you're taking pictures, while you're, you know, walking around location scouting, just get the footage, get the B-roll. You don't have to have the concept or the idea of what you're going to use it for, but just get a couple of clips and you don't have to film the whole thing. I literally, every photo shoot, I don't bring an assistant. It's just me and my client. Every photo shoot, I'm like, hey, I'm just going to set up my phone right here in the corner. It's just going to stare at us for about 5 minutes. Don't even picture it. You know, don't even think that it's there. It's just going to get it. And I don't have the concept. I just know I'm glad I got the footage because now I can put it in a reel or a TikTok video, or I can, you know, make it some part of my website. Just getting the content, because when people see how excited you are to be working, when they see what it looks like, especially photographers, it shows the transformation. Right. When you're showing from your cell phone, you know, not the best quality footage compared to your camera, when you're showing what it looks like, you know, at the location you're shooting, the lighting might be harsh, you know, there's stuff all over the place. Showing that nitty gritty and then showing you shooting the session then showing the actual photos and how professional and beautiful and clean and crisp they are, your clients are like, wow, I did not know that it took all of that to go into this process. And the images are amazing. This is why I need to work with that person, because they can make such beauty out of, you know, organized chaos, and they're having fun and their client is having fun. Right. And this is what I need. So that is just a huge mistake I see as photographers. I go to their feed and I'm just seeing photos. And I'm like, But what does it look like to work with you? Mm-hmm. You know, how do you speak to your clients? What's your experience look like? I would love to see more photographers just showcasing, you know, their business.
Right. What does the experience look like to work with you? And you talk about putting your camera up. I'm a camera up recording this right now.
I need to do the same thing.
It's literally sitting here in front of my computer screen. Uh-huh. The whole bit. And so I have a minute and a half now of B-roll. So I'm just going to stop it. And I'll use it for something.
Put it up. I'm putting it up right
now. I do it all the time. I do it for my coaching clients. And the thing is that because I have headphones on, mm-hmm. none of your sound is coming onto my camera roll. It's picking up me talking, but it's not picking up you.
Yeah.
And you can modify that. Like you can take all the sound out on reels and social media and that kind of stuff. But I think people, first of all, overcomplicate showing behind the scenes. I have a few tools that I talk about in my weekly newsletter that I send out called the Weekly Call, which you guys can sign up in the show notes to get that newsletter.
Yeah.
Where I share the tools that I use to mm-hmm. get this stuff that literally I can put in my work bag or in my purse. It's not like these big obtrusive, I'm not carrying a ring light and a tripod everywhere I go to get now I have a session this afternoon and I'll probably bring a tripod for my cell phone and I'll say, hey, I'm just going to have, like you said, I'm just going to have this running in the background and take it. And if you're doing, all you have to do is set it up in one place, click, uh-huh. click, and then maybe a couple minutes in, just move it to the other side. And then, hey, guess what? You got two looks.
Exactly.
And you can use them in so many different ways. So I agree. Not showing the behind the scenes right now is key because everyone wants to see behind the scenes.
Exactly.
Not because they're not trying to steal your business.
Yeah.
They're just, we are nosy creatures.
Right? We are.
We are nosy. We are. And we want to know, hey, how'd they do that? Right? And some of the biggest cable shows are how was this made or behind the scenes and that kind of stuff. And you can do the same thing in your business. And everyone can see that gives you a chance to show your uniqueness.
Exactly. Because is your style of photography different and the way your photos come across, but you are so unique mm-hmm. as a person, and people that can see you and they see who you are through your social media, through your emails, through your website, through building this brand, mm-hmm. when they see you and they lock in on you, it doesn't matter what you charge. It doesn't matter if you can only shoot on specific days of the week. They're just like, hey, I want to work with this person because she has built or he has built this amazing personal brand. I feel so connected with them. I always tell photographers, once you build that brand, the selling becomes obsolete. Mm-hmm. Once you build the brand, the selling becomes obsolete because by the time the people have gone through your social media, been on your email list, looked at your website, and they get into your inbox, they're just ready. They're ready to get started. They don't want to say, hey, I have a million questions, because you've already answered the questions and all the value that you're providing. Yeah. They haven't said, hey, can we negotiate some type of discount, because they see the value in your expertise because you've shown all of that.
Yes.
And so if you're building this personal, just irresistible personal brand, mm-hmm. by the time your inquiries are getting to your inbox, it is so much easier to close the deal and work with your dream clients.
Yeah. I do for my branding and my headshot sessions these days, I do very little selling. Usually mm-hmm. it's how do we book?
Yeah.
And it's so much easier, because first of all, it gives you more confidence in the fact that, okay, people really want to work with me. You get a few clients that aren't asking for discounts and aren't asking mm-hmm. you to jump over tons of hoops, aren't nickel and diming and all that kind of stuff. You get a few who are just like, okay, where do I submit my credit card?
Right.
That does something for your confidence. And you realize, oh, there are people out there that will pay uh-huh. what I want for the services that I provide. I don't need to worry about the people who are calling and asking for discounts. And that can happen in any kind of photography. This isn't mm-hmm. just branding photography. It can happen in any kind of photography. Yeah. I know that with my family photography, my average sale, and it has been for a few, anyone who hires me for a family session, my average sale is $4,800 because mm-hmm. that's where I have strategically put it to be. If I'm going to do a family session, that's how much money I want to make. But now when people call me for it, they're not asking for discounts. If anything, they're adding more on because my confidence level has increased so much that I don't, if someone wants to pay me less than what I want, I don't have to worry about it. It's like, no, I'm not, I don't, that's for someone else and that's great. Bless you, but we're not going to work together. Good. And I mean that. Find the best fit for what you're looking for, but it's not me. And that's okay. Let's just, let's just be honest about it. That's perfectly okay.
Right.
So my next question to you is, what were some things that you wish you knew when you were creating your branding business?
Specifically branding photography?
Or just, well, you can take it wherever you want. You want.
I wish I would have started sooner with putting myself out there more. I spent the first few years of my business really pushing out who my clients were, you know, their stories, which is great. You know, it's great. We should be sharing that. Mm-hmm. I wish I would have sooner equally pushed out my own story. Mm-hmm. I wish I would have talked more about what I like to do on the weekends, what I like to watch on TV, you know, how, like what my family, you know, consists of, where we like to vacation. I feel like if I would have shared that sooner, my business would have grown exponentially much, much quicker. Mm-hmm. But I was really, like other photographers, just hiding behind my clients, hiding behind the things I was shooting. And I just saw the huge pivot in the reception of people after I started sharing my own story, telling people how I got to where I was in business, telling people why I love photography. And like I said, what I'm doing on the weekend. There's so many things that I share now that people just attribute to me. So for example, my family and I, we go to the farmer's market every single Saturday. We go to the same farmer's market. We buy the same things, support the same people. And so people, you know, I'll go out of town and someone say, oh, I saw that you're going to Orange County next month. Here are a list of farmer's markets that I know you'll love. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
That's nice.
Like,
that's nice.
Like people just know that I like to go to the farmer's market. And so that person, you know, it happens all the time. We have this commonality, this shared commonality with specific things, whether it's the love for the farmer's market, or I have a love for TV and game shows. I have a love for Drake, the rapper. I just have all these things that I share. And so
weren't you on a game show recently?
Yes, I was on a game show a couple months ago. Well, I filmed it a year ago, but it just aired a couple months ago. And that is my hobby, is to apply for game shows.
That's so funny. Okay.
And so people see that and they have these shared commonalities. And once somebody locks in on a shared commonality with you, when they're ready to book when they're ready to book a service that you provide, you're the first person that they're thinking about because they remember, oh, I forgot. Angie loves going to the farmer's market and she's also a branding photographer. Let me hit her up. Yeah. It's just like they have that shared connection with you on something. So I just wish sooner photographers would show up more authentically in their own personal lives or personal selves and really relate to people on that personal level, because you could be really attracting in new audiences, new inquiries, new bookings from people who know, like, and trust you on certain factors. And so when they're ready to book a wedding photographer, a newborn photographer, a branding photographer, a senior photographer, they remember, oh, you know, she likes this, or she goes this place, or she, you know, she makes all these healthy meals that I love seeing what she's eating for dinner. I forgot. She's also a photographer. You know, it keeps you top of mind.
Yeah, it keeps you top of mind. And, you know, it's really interesting because I think everyone kind of has their own people that are going to be attracted to them.
Yes.
And if they're not attracted, that's okay. But in my personal business, what I'm finding, so a lot of people who follow this blog and follow me know that I've been on this fitness journey for a while. I've lost 120 pounds. And I'm still going. And so I share bits and pieces of that, of my life, but I'm not a fitness person, but I am starting to share a few more of my tips and tricks of how I do it. And so there's that, but I share that story on my website of saying, listen, I used to be scared to be in front of the camera. I used to feel awkward. I used to feel like I had to do it for my business, but it wasn't comfortable for me. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting. The people that I'm attracting are the people who are coming because they know that I've been there. They know I understand exactly how they feel and the fact that I'm going to be sensitive to that, which I would have been anyway, just because that's my nature. But it's very different, especially with something like that, when you're dealing with women or just people in general who have certain physical insecurities. Mm-hmm. That's who's hiring me right now. And guess what? Yeah. They're not questioning price. They're not questioning offer. All they want to know is, when are you available? Who's your hair and makeup person?
Exactly.
Let's get this done. And that goes back to the fact of, they're not usually doing it because they want to. They're doing it because they have to, or they see the they see the need in their business to put themselves out in an authentic way, in a professional way. And so that has helped my business tremendously, sharing something that I used to be so incredibly, I wasn't ashamed of it, but it wasn't something that I was like wanting to, I mean, I have a vocal performance degree. I'm not scared to be on stage. But the weight was something that was an issue for me. And so by sharing a little bit, I'm not pulling back the whole entire curtain because I'm not ready to do that. And that's not my person. There's a lot of emotions that go along with weight and all that kind of stuff. And I totally get that. But the people who are coming into the studio now are people who are trusting me with their persona, their image, because they know that I'm going to be sensitive to them and realize, hey, we all got issues. We all got things we're insecure about. Let's just work around all those things. We're going to feel good about ourselves while we're here, and we're going to create great work together. But part of sharing that story, I know, has made me more relatable to the people who are hiring me at this time.
Yeah. So, you know, I love that you share that, because that is such a pain point for clients is, you know, I don't like how I look, and, you know, I'm insecure, things like that. I've seen so many clients say that. And so the fact that you have that personal connection, I always tell photographers, really think about the pain points of your potential clients. And if you connect on some level, then don't be ashamed to share that. Share that, because that's helping them in their comfort level. And they see that someone who is taking such amazing pictures might also have had those feelings. They're going to connect with you.
Right.
You know, so, and there's so many different pain points. That can be a pain point. You know, a lot of different pain point. One can be time. You know, I don't have the time, you know, for example, branding clients, that's one of their pain points is I just don't have the time to show up on social media. Right. Why would I need photos? Because I can't, I don't have the time. And I tell people, think about that pain point. How are you helping them in that pain point? As a branding photographer, we're providing photos for the next, you know, quarter, for the next 3 months in 1 3-to-4-hour session. So if you're saying you don't have time to show up on social media, it's probably because you're spending your time trying to figure out what to show, you know, what to share on social media. So let's take the time, 3 to 4 hours, knock out an amazing branding shoot, and now you have 50, 75, 100 photos for the next quarter. Now you're saving time, because all you have to do is log into your gallery and literally pick anything.
Everything, right.
Yeah.
No, I did that recently. I had 3 different branding shoots, and it's such a relief. It's almost, here's what's happened, is it's almost swung the other way. I have so many pictures of myself that I can use that I go into my files and I'm like, how do I choose? Right.
But where do I begin?
It's a totally different problem. And this is a problem I would rather have versus like, oh my gosh, I need to put something else out, or they need pictures for the podcast or whatever. And I'm like, I don't have any to give them. So then you go through the process. Oh, I need to book someone right away. I need to plan outfits right away. I need to do all this stuff right away. And you're doing it in a rushed way. So the results aren't going to be great, because it's just not going to work. I mean, you'll get pictures, but you're not going to love those pictures versus if you spend the time doing it, just like with anything, if you put the time and you give it some space and you put the time into it that it deserves, you're going to have an end result that's actually worth something and is valuable to you.
For sure.
And that's part of the reason why I don't do many sessions, but that's a whole nother podcast. all right. So we've talked a little bit about why photographers need to work on their brand and what are some of the biggest mistakes we see. And there's an underlying current that pretty much all these questions are like, you need to spend time. You need to put your face out there. You need to invest. You need to let people see who you are besides just a person with a camera. Because there's a lot of people with cameras. So how can you set yourself apart? Well, it's you. That's what sets you apart. So if someone wants to pivot from a family-based business or a wedding-based business into branding photography, what advice do you have for them? Besides contact you because you can help them do that. Like, on, besides just 3 points.
I would definitely say to build your portfolio by any means necessary. So if you're coming from any type of niche of photography and wanting to pivot mm-hmm. into branding photography, get those first few clients in front of your camera and take a ton of variety. This is exactly what I did. I actually did a model call. Mm-hmm. So I put it out there and I said, hey, I'm pivoting into branding. I am building my portfolio and I'd like to get 3 different type of entrepreneurs in front of my camera. We'll do a full branding shoot. I'll walk you through my actual client experience. It's kind of like you're creating a proof of concept. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to make sure that the guidance that you're providing your clients to help them plan and prepare for the shoot is just, you know, stellar. You want to make sure that you are planning, you know, making a shoot plan for each client. It's literally trial and error. You're walking your clients, your new branding clients through this process. So at the end of it, you have an amazing gallery full of variety for your clients. Yes. You have an amazing testimonial for those clients and you just have extra experience under your belt. And so many different ways to get those first few portfolio building clients. You can literally get a friend who's a business owner. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know as photographers, we know
people can pretend to be business owners
and they can pretend.
You don't even have to have a business. They can pretend to be business owners, right?
Exactly. And also think about who's already in your network. Do you get your hair done? You know, can you trade services with your hairstylist?
Mm-hmm. I'm actually doing that next month. Like, she's needed new headshots for years.
Yes.
And she charges me an arm and a leg to get my hair done. And I'm like, that's a good trade for me.
Let's trade.
Like the full service for some branding sessions. So 100%. Yeah, we're doing that. And she's the one who brought it up. I didn't bring it up. So the opportunities are out there around. You just have to ask. Really. Yes. You just have to ask.
A service provider, so, you know, a hairstylist, a personal trainer, something like that. It could be a product maker. So does your friend make jewelry? Mm-hmm. You know, can you even trade that way? Can she give you some jewelry and you take photos of it in your home and build your product portfolio? So there's so many ways. I even love doing model calls. And model calls doesn't have to be something free. It can be free, but you can also say, hey, you're going to get 10 photos of your choice for free. And then, you know, if you want to upgrade, you know, and buy more photos or upgrade to the full gallery, you can do so. So if you're saying, I don't really want to charge people, fine. You can give a limit of how many photos you give. And then you can deliver 50 photos and blow them away and then upsell them hundreds of dollars to buy the full gallery.
And, but the thing is, if they don't buy anymore, that's okay too, because the reason why you were doing this in the first place is because you needed something for yourself. So if you've gotten that, and it's still a win-win. However you look at that, it's a win-win. So I have a few more questions for you to wrap this up. But before we do this, you guys are going to want to stick around. Here is a word from our fabulous sponsor, InPhoto. All right, this seems like the perfect place for us to stop the conversation and remind you that if you have not signed up at InPhoto to get your 75% off a sample off their beautiful albums, you need to do that today. InPhoto creates beautiful handcrafted albums for your clients, and they're going to make you look great, and they're going to show your photos in a beautiful, beautiful way. If you have not signed up for that 75% off sample, you need to do that. To find the link, go to the show notes page, focalpointspodcast.com, and go ahead and sign up today. So we're back with Angie, and I have 5 questions for her to close out this fabulous interview. She shared so much great information. So before we do this, though, Angie, how can people find you on the interwebs? How can they get in touch with you?
Yes, you can go to my website, which is AngieMcPherson.com, or you can connect with me on Instagram. I'm loving Instagram. I'm always in my DMs, so send me a message over there. My Instagram is Angie Janine. Janine is spelled J-A-N-I-N-E.
Love it. And we will have links to her website, to her IG, and anything else on our show notes page that you can hit at thefocalpointspodcast.com. So be sure and... if you didn't remember all that, just go to the website. It's all there. Like, we'll have it for you. So, and if you're listening on certain mobile channels right now, you can just scroll down and click through to those in the show notes. So it's all there for you. But I have a couple questions. I used to do this on my old podcast, and I kind of got out of this habit. But last night I was thinking, you know, I'm gonna pull these out again. So, all right. So what is your favorite thing that you've bought this year?
Oh gosh. Let's see. Oh my gosh. I upgraded my camera. I don't know why it even took me 2 seconds to think about that. I went from a Canon 5D Mark III to the R6. Oh my gosh.
Is that amazing?
I'm obsessed.
Okay. All right. So I shoot the Mark III is my workhorse right now. And it's great for studio headshots and it does the job. But I'm starting to tell my images versus people who are shooting with what you're shooting with. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to need to bite that bullet. So, okay. I already know that you're going to sell me. Dory, do it. Just do it. Just do it.
It's incredible. I wish I had done it sooner.
Okay. All right. Noted. Mm. All right. So which words or phrases do you overuse, do you think?
Oh, gosh. If I'm thinking like during a photo shoot, if you were to see behind the scenes of me for 60 seconds, I would probably say, cute, pretty, awesome. Like literally a million times.
Okay.
And I look back at the video and I'm like, girl, can you say anything else? Like expand your vocabulary or just be quiet. But you know, my clients eat it up. Yeah. So I'm happy. And it's authentic. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. This is so cute. Right. You look gorgeous. But that's just how I feel.
I don't know anybody who's going to get tired of being called gorgeous. Come on. Like that's just like that's a good thing. So if you had someone following you all around 24/7, what would you have them do? Like they were there to take care of you. Like what would you have them do if they were following you around for 24 hours a day?
I would probably say grab content.
See, I knew you were going to say that. I would probably say clean my house, but you know, yeah, content that's a big deal, right?
You know what? The return on investment in just grabbing a little bit of B-roll is so massive. I love watching the people that do like the day in the life, you know, day in the life of a, you know, photographer, of a fitness coach, of a course creator. I love that. So if I could have someone just film me for a day and get footage from, you know, 8 to 12 hours, oh my gosh, it would be priceless, that amount of, you know, footage. I could use that in so many different places.
Now, do you edit your own stuff?
I do.
See, that's for me. I don't have a hard time capturing everything, but the editing can be a challenge. So yeah, I need to find an editor who can help me with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, try Fiverr.
Yeah, Fiverr or onlinejobs.ph is a good place to find people too. Like, right. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what is your biggest regret?
Oh gosh. You know, I don't really have many regrets. I feel like I have a lot of lessons.
Yeah.
If I had to pick something, it was just not doing things sooner.
Yeah.
That's always, I'm just like, man, this would have expedited this. So for example, upgrading my camera gear sooner, or, you know, investing in different types of education sooner, or, you know, but then I think, you know, everything is, you know, happening for me. It's happening the way it's supposed to. So I can't really call it a regret.
Yeah. A lesson. I love the fact that it's not really a lesson, or not really a regret, but lessons.
Yeah.
Like, and there's some lessons we wish we never had to have. Right.
Yeah.
But we got that. But like, yeah, just looking at everything, like there's a reason why this came at this time, and we're going to go through. Okay. The last question. And this, I don't know if I know where you're going to, but your answer is going to be on this, but what are you most excited about right now?
Oh my gosh. Well, at the time of this recording, we are in a week going to Orange County, California for an entire month. Mm-hmm. We live in Virginia, so we're going from coast to coast for the entire month. My two boys are so excited. It's kind of a sabbatical for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been working in this business for 10 years and I've never really take extended time off. And if I try to, I still find some way to work.
It's hard.
So I'm literally removing myself from my home, from, you know, the state we live in. And we are going to a gorgeous place that I really, really love. And we're going to do Disneyland and the beaches and LA, Hollywood, and just go up and down California. And that is just the one thing I'm the most excited about right now. It's just, and also just give my kids an opportunity to see the world. They've never left the East Coast and never been on the West Coast before, and just kind of showing them, you know, the opportunities in life are truly endless. I want to instill that in them while they're young.
Well, true confession. And she shared this on her Instagram, so I knew that she was going to be doing this. And I grew up in Southern California, yeah, very close to where she's going to be, like within 15 minutes. So before we started recording, I shared a few things, but I'm going to give you this one other tip.
Okay.
Go to Lucille's Barbecue in Brea.
Ooh, okay.
Just go there, allow some time. Uh-huh. They might actually have one down closer to the beach, but go to Lucille's, get some barbecue. Now, granted, you know that's saying a lot when coming from Virginia. We have some good barbecue, right?
We do.
Like, right? We do. So I know that that's a pretty tall order. But yeah, we go just if you're looking for something to do one night, say, hey, go head up to Lucille's. And then you'll be literally within 3 minutes of where I grew up. So it's
all good. I'll put it on my list.
Yeah, put it on your list. And if you need any suggestions, I know you have lots of friends and everything, but just hit me up because I'm happy to help when it comes to knowing what to do up there. So
absolutely. Thank you.
Angie, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been an absolute pleasure. I've loved getting to meet you face to face and have this conversation. And thank you for all your great insight that you shared with our audience today.
Well, thank you so much. I truly appreciate being here and chatting with you today.
All right. Thank you for listening to the Focal Points podcast. Thank you to Enphoto for sponsoring this project. And we will see you all next time. Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to head over to the show notes page at blog.enphoto.com/podcast. That's blog.enphoto.com/podcast. Get the download for this program and link to a wonderful, wonderful 75% off special for your first sample order from Enphoto. You don't want to miss it.